Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today on Deadline is zeroing in on election integrity. It's a buzzword that many of us became familiar with in 2020 when former President Donald Trump began claiming that the lack of it, election integrity that is, cost him the White House. Trump has never been able to prove the election was quote-unquote stolen from him, but today there are some concerns about outside interference before, during, and after the opening of polls. Here's just one recent headline about the issue. According to a report published by CNN last week, citing two sources familiar with the matter, Chinese hackers were targeting the cell phones of Trump and GOP vice presidential nominee, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. That report noted that the efforts were part of a widespread cyber espionage campaign that also saw members of the Democrats' campaign targeted. The FBI and the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency said last Friday that they were investigating the incident. It remains unclear what information the Chinese hackers gathered from the cyber attack or what they were even looking for. News of this attack came after three Iranian operatives were charged with hacking Trump's presidential campaign in September. The Justice Department said that efforts were part of a sweeping effort to undermine the former president and create more doubt in the U.S. electoral system. With the ongoing war in Ukraine, many are worried that Russia may also try to influence the election, like a 2020 Senate panel said it did in 2016. Whether Russia would try to convince voters to cast ballots for Vice President Kamala Harris or Trump is another unknown. We should note, though, that none of these allegations in 2024 have anything to do with actually tossing out votes for one candidate and filling in the name of another candidate. They do, however, have a lot to do with the kind of misinformation that influences how some voters cast their ballots. So, what exactly is being done to ensure that our election is safe and fair? Ian Schur, CBS News tech contributor, joined Odyssey to break down the recent threats to our election integrity.
Iranian hackers are gearing up for a potentially major influence operation ahead of the U.S. elections just 11 days from now. And similar efforts are also coming from China and Russia. That's according to a new report by Microsoft that says foreign adversaries are working overtime to influence the 2024 presidential election. Ian, should we be surprised by this at all?
Well, surprised, definitely not. This is kind of, unfortunately, the way the new normal that we all live in and have been living in for nearly a decade now, talking about it a lot. But I think what's interesting is that these things continue to happen. And I think it's also important, you know, we're getting down to less than 2 weeks before the election. This is particularly a worrisome time for disinformation experts because they say it gets a lot harder to have people be well-educated, right? You've got some people who are just starting to tune in right now because they've been sick and tired of listening to the nonstop campaigning for the last 2 years. And so they're only starting to listen now. And this is when the disinformation and campaigns can have their biggest impact. So that is part of the concern and why you're hearing even Microsoft talk about this, is that really, you know, in a lot of ways, it's the potential for the damage is really high right now.
So what are they trying to influence? Is it the presidential election? Is it down ballot races?
It's everything. So it definitely the presidential election plays a, a big part, right? And we saw these influence campaigns kick up, particularly during the general elections in 2020 and 2016. And they did exist also in 2018 and 2022, but not as big of a deal conversation-wise. And I think, you know, the examples you can see, for example, there was this report about a Russian influence campaign that tried to allege some misconduct by Governor Tim Walz, right? One of the people on the Democratic ticket. And disinformation experts were able to prove that it wasn't even real or anything, but it came, interestingly, from Russia, right? And Russian influence group. So, you know, some of this stuff we are used to seeing kind of weird politics within our own borders and maybe one campaign being, you know, throwing mud at another. But it's really important to remember that when our foreign adversaries are trying to influence us, it's a whole nother matter.
So we are aware of the Senate report that said that Russia tried to influence the 2016 election by backing Mr. Trump. Is there a similar effort by any nation for Kamala Harris?
You know, it's hard to tell, right? One of the things that is interesting is that on some level, they're just trying to sow discord, right? And so it's kind of a nihilism anarchy thing where, you know, if you can cause enough disruption to the United States political system, then maybe that's a win overall. We have seen that there are concerted efforts to take down Harris, but it's also worth noting that there have been hacks of the Trump campaign, right? There was a very publicized hack a couple weeks ago, I've lost track, of the Trump campaign and the impact that could have. So, you know, on some level, I think you have to assume that it's not so much about one candidate or the other. Yes, there are indications that some of our foreign adversaries would prefer one candidate or the other. But generally, they're just trying to cause trouble for us, because the more they can slow down and gum up our political system, the less the United States has energy to influence anything abroad.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Concerns about election interference circulate, what can Americans do to ensure that they're using accurate information to decide who they will vote for in this election? Margaret Brennan, moderator of CBS News' Face the Nation, recently shared more on what to trust about the upcoming election.
What do you think so far of what's been happening and the keys as we get closer to Election Day?
A lot of star power in these closing days as the closing arguments are made. And certainly for the Democrats and Vice President Harris, they're really trying to excite younger voters and voters who may not be that enthusiastic enough, at least, to show up on November the 5th to cast those votes. This is going to be a turnout election. It is expected to be extremely close, and so it could be won on the margins. And that means they need to try to activate voters who might not always show up to vote in each election, but they've got to this time. That's what Democrats are really focusing on with these rallies. And for Donald Trump, he has that very dedicated base. It is a question of continuing to motivate them to show up, even if they don't identify themselves as Republican, but also can he be persuasive enough to what he's trying to do here is seemingly make the argument that he's better than the alternative. So if you don't like him, you're uncomfortable with some of the things he did, his role in January 6th, he's making that argument all about what he argues is that the heydays of his four-year term when the economy was doing well before he shut down the economy due to the pandemic.
Following the kind of the rabbit hole of posts on X, which I should really stop doing.
Yes.
I mean, that's my first problem, but
I'm with you.
Oh my goodness. But Oh, you hear all these, you see all these things, bombshell coming, October surprise related to former President Trump. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've heard it. Is there any, I don't know, reality to this? Is this just Democrats trying to intrigue people? What are you hearing about what's out there leading up?
Well, with every election, there's always the what could happen in these final days question. And certainly in the age of social media, there are just rumors abounding. Part of that, I just want to really caution everyone about social media. If you didn't read the report that came out this past week from the Director of National Intelligence about elections, security, and foreign actors, you should Google it, because it lays out specifics on the manipulation of social media in particular, the manipulation of online content by foreign actors, basically trying to hack minds to persuade voters. And this is something we have to just proceed with absolute caution on. And unless you are following a very much esteemed and credible news organization, take what you're reading with a grain of salt. Be a little journalist yourself on this one. You know, make sure you have multiple sources and make sure they are credible sources, and go to the primary source itself. So if it's about election availability of ballots, or if it's about the details of election day, go to the Secretaries of State website. Don't read X, don't read Facebook, don't believe TikTok.
It seems like our candidates couldn't be further apart on certain issues. It also seems that there is a lack of decorum in today's political landscape, with coworkers and family members steering clear of political topics altogether to avoid awkward confrontations or arguments. How can we depolarize politics and find common ground while also casting votes for opposite sides? Steve Voss, a specialist on voter behavior and associate professor of political science at the University of Kentucky, shared some ideas last week with Odyssey.
So, you know, in my lifetime, I don't remember any of the electorate being this polarized before. Are there any parallels in history to this?
In some ways, the 60s were worse, if you're talking only about the electorate. Of course, at that time, the Democrats and the Republicans weren't as far apart, so that polarization sort of softened as it passed through the political system. The opposite happened this time. Really, the parties polarized first, and the electorate, the voters, sort of caught up with them later. And I think you'd have to go back, you know, either to the time before the Civil War, or some highly conflictual periods around the turn of the 20th century to get anywhere near where we are now.
So here we keep hearing the term tribalism. In your opinion, is that what's driving this?
Well, what's interesting about the polarization today is that it really is about party. In other words, hostilities, conflict in the past would have been across racial lines or ethnic lines or regional lines. These days, we actively have negative stereotypes about people who are in the other party, about Democrats or about Republicans. And that's an oddity, is that politics, party, has become so much part of our identity and how we define the other, the out-group, the people we don't like.
If we look strictly at the polls, especially during this presidential election season, you would think that the country is almost evenly divided on these issues. In your opinion, is that true?
For the most part, yes, we've got a closely divided. It's not only polarized in the sense of extreme, it's also polarized in the sense of fairly evenly balanced. Keep in mind, though, a large number of people in the electorate, whether they take a more conservative or a more left-leaning stance on issues, they're not highly political, they're not highly ideological. So even today, when we talk about polarization, there is that large middle that is kind of frustrated with the polarization and really would rather see compromise, less conflict, whatever they happen to believe on policy issues.
You've consulted both Republicans and Democrats. Do they share the same fears about the future?
I don't think so. Now, there is a sort of shared belief that democracy is not working very well. There's sort of a shared belief that the country is fraying. So, you know, that base anxiety is there. But of course, what they see as the main threats, not just which leaders, but also which issues and which sort of cultural and political shifts, those are very different. What they're telling each other for their, you know, their scary stories to go to bed and have nightmares about is a little different depending on your party.
You know, what's the your opinion on the rural versus urban divide of people on political issues?
Well, it's widened, and the geographical nature of our partisan splits are part of why we've gotten so polarized. I mean, it used to be in most communities you had a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans, and therefore you knew people of the other party. You had names to attach to people in the other party. You maybe liked them, and outside of the sphere of voting and politics, and that dampened the amount of hostility, the amount of stereotyping. But as politics has taken on more of an urban-rural split and more of a geographical split, people are more likely to be in bubbles in their neighborhoods, in their residences. And of course, when they go on social media, they're in even often more homogeneous, uniform bubbles. That's made it easier to stereotype. It's made it easier to think the worst of people on the other side.
So we've drawn sort of an outline of the issue here. The question is we have here, and everybody has, is how do we bring the country back together? How do we go back to shared values, even if we disagree on certain things? How can we get to the point where we're not hating each other when we disagree?
Yeah, the sad thing is most of the things we could actively do to try to make things better would likely only move at the margins, would only nibble at the problem. We can try to do a better job teaching young people how to be critical consumers of media, including social media, so that they're able to recognize the filtration process that, you know, that shapes their view of the world. I took a course in political propaganda when I was in high school. These days, we may not even be teaching them civics, depending on what the rules are in their state school system. So we could nibble at it that way. I mean, certainly, within the journalistic profession, there could be a little more mindfulness in terms of how negative, you know, the sort of negative bias and coverage also therefore reinforces a negative view that Americans have of each other. And maybe try to do a little bit to lessen the negativity that people see in their media. But sadly, you know, what usually turns this sort of thing around is some kind of crisis, a foreign policy crisis, an economic crisis, something that distracts us and moves us on to a different threat.
So, while election integrity is a very broad concept, know that ensuring it basically just relies on making sure people can cast ballots for candidates they really know the truth about. It's also important that votes be cast in a safe manner and that they're counted accurately. If you're worried about it, there is something you can do. It would be following age-old advice. Want something done right? Do it yourself. Become a poll worker. To become a poll worker, you would go through training with key election officials, greet and check in voters, issue ballots, and assist with counting both in-person and absentee ballots. Trusting that the system is working is especially important in swing states like Michigan, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. In those states, razor-thin margins are combined with big electoral college power. Al Schmidt, Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, recently said his state has been engaged in a constant effort to test the system and try to identify any vulnerabilities where bad faith actors could attempt to undermine confidence in the election results. Michigan's Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, said the best defense against concerns related to violence during the transfer of presidential power is to ensure a safe and peaceful election process. When she joined Face the Nation, Benson said this: "It's incumbent upon all of us to look to trusted sources of information, like your local election official, and use data to evaluate questions, as opposed to people who are running social media companies with particular agendas and who have a history in amplifying conspiracy theories and false information." Benson added that it's the job of elections officials to make sure it's easy to vote, hard to cheat, And, in her words, that we all stand by the will of the people, whatever that may be. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.